Mark chapter 11. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways meet. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Because of the differences in the accounts, it is very likely that his entry into Jerusalem occurred on several occasions. Because he would go in, and then he would go out, and then he would come back in, and he might have come back in with just as much fanfare the next time as the first. The cry of Hosanna is quoting from Psalm 118. The people are really getting stirred up. You know, as we had looked at earlier in the gospel, people weren't saying that Jesus was the Messiah. It's the sort of thing you kind of don't dare say. Verse 25 of Psalm 118. Verse 25 says, Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Save now is Hosanna. That's what they're saying. Save now. When they say Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. That means save now, save now. They want the Messiah to take up his messianic role and to deliver the Jewish people from the Roman domination and to give them their proper place as they see it as head of all the nations. But even in the Psalm 118, you look at verse 22. We'll start with verse 21. I will praise thee for thou hast heard me. Thou art my salvation. Well, and art become my salvation. Verse 22 says, The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Right there is a prophecy of Christ's rejection, according to the apostles. He is the stone which the builders rejected, so to speak, meaning those who were in charge of the building. They rejected him, the leaders and the elders of the people, and the people themselves, ultimately. They all lifting up the cry, Save now! They want him to fulfill the prophecies concerning Messiah. But the ones people most often have in mind, or at least especially at that time they had in mind, were the ones there his dominion would be set up from sea to sea, and that he would rebuke the heathen and bring about a lot of changes in the earth. And Jesus did indeed come to bring changes. But his sacrifice would bring about changes in the heart, not in earthly governments. Though earthly governments have changed, right, and the corrupted church itself became a form of a government. But that is not the work of God for salvation. That is not the work of God in the messianic aspect of save now. What he would do for man. You know, a lot of things are the Lord's doing, such as the stone which the builders rejected. That's the Lord's doing. And when men corrupt the word of God, the Lord is also in that. And then he allows it. In fact, he helps it. As it says in 2 Thessalonians, you know, because they receive not the love of the truth, he gives them a strong delusion. They don't love the truth, so he gives them a strong delusion. Why? Well, you might hate the truth, but knowing the truth, you may alter your behavior, right? As Jesus said, if the good men of the house knew at what hour the thief would come, he would not suffer his house to be broken up. If you have knowledge that at midnight someone's going to try to break into your home, you make preparations, don't you? Or you ought to make sure your house doesn't get broken up. Well, but does that knowledge please you? Knowing that the thief will be there? No, because you know it's against you. And so you would take precautions. And so, as it is written of the princes of Jesus' day, that if they had known what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. If they had known they were rejecting the headstone on the corner, even though they did not love the teachings of Christ, and they did not love Christ at all, for their own safety's sake, they would not have crucified him. And so God makes sure they do what they need to do, what they want to do, by suffering them to be deluded. So it is with the enemies of God. 1 Corinthians says, you know, that we speak the wisdom of God, which God hath hidden in a mystery. The hidden wisdom, which none of the princes of this world knew, because if they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In this, these few verses here, we see, you know, the Lord's knowledge and foreknowledge. And this, you see the destiny written all over this passage of how the animal is there, and he tells them, say this, and they won't give you any problems. The Lord hath need of him. Oh, okay. What more can you say about it? We see things set up. Everything set up. Everything ready. Everything in its place. And man doesn't like the way God runs things, does he? Man is not pleased. But it is not run for man's pleasure. It is run to accomplish God's purposes. And things that we do not understand happen because of those purposes. And man, in his ignorance, says God isn't fair. When, of course, the truth is always that God is more than fair. Because none of us deserve to even live. And therefore, he is gracious to all of us. Even to the wicked, God is gracious. I mean, he doesn't give them eternal life. Why does he have to do that? But they have their life now, however short or long that may be. But whatever life you have, if it's 5 minutes or 50 years, it's more than we deserve. Because we cannot say we deserve a moment. Verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing the fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon.